Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with studies in the book of Exodus. And we are following along in chapter 6. We've just, in our last lesson, we were closing chapter 6 concerning the encouragement of God to Moses and Aaron. You remember that Moses and Aaron and the people of Israel were greatly discouraged at the end of chapter 5 because the first time they came to Pharaoh and asked if they might have a 3 days journey into the wilderness to serve their God, he defied them. In fact, he manifested arrogancy, and he defied the living God. And instead of them being delivered from their bondage out of Egypt, the taskmasters were even more severe, and you have violence. This is the first opposition to the purpose of God, is by violence. We're going to see as you go through your Bible and down through history, this is true. As the apostle said, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And he starts by violence, then by imitation, then by compromise. I'll be mentioning this over and over again. This is his pattern. You take church history, same thing, the first 3 centuries, you have violence, time of the martyrs, and you follow on through the history of the Christian church down through these centuries. So it is here in Egypt. It's also in a personal life. The moment our Savior revealed his purpose, he's going to suffer and die, he had satanic opposition. And it's true with believers. When we really want the will of God in our lives and want to live that God's purpose may be accomplished in us, don't be surprised if you have opposition of one sort or another. You know, some people say, well, if I dedicate my life to the Lord, everything's going to be so easy. Oh, no, that's not true. That's not true. You have some experiences with God you never had before. That's true. You begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. You begin to get to know your God. But don't misunderstand me. There'll be tests and trials and opposition. We're not living in heaven, we're living on earth. This is Satan's domain, according to John's Gospel. He's called, Satan is called, the prince of this world. Hence, you're going to expect satanic opposition. But don't get occupied with that. You get occupied with the Savior. You get occupied with the Lord himself. He take care of these other things. Satan's a defeated foe. And it's for us to walk with God. And the danger with some people is to become occupied with the devil instead of Christ. Now, you be occupied with the Savior. As you grow in him in the Word of God, and as you grow in your knowledge and grace of God, then you begin to understand something of the purposes of God. So you have in chapter 6 where God encourages this man Moses and his brother Aaron. He reveals himself as Jehovah, the eternal God. This was not his name to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew God as El Shaddai. You find that in Genesis 17:1 and goes on down through. Take the book of Job, for example. Job knew God as El Shaddai. But when you come to Moses and Aaron, God gives them a fresh revelation that his God is the ever-present God. He's Jehovah. This is his eternal name. He never leaves his people. Did you hear me? He never, for one moment, leaves his people. Wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever your circumstance, if you trust the Savior, he's right there with you. You may not understand all that comes into your life. You may not understand all the tests and trials of life. It's for us to trust him. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And you are the object of his love, of his affection and devotion, of his care. Never leaves you. He's your father. I'm talking to you Christians, you who really love the Savior. And it's high time we Christians got to know our God. It's what you have in chapter 6. And in closing, we kind of rush through it from verse 14 right on down through verse 26. You have the genealogy of Moses and Aaron, And by the way, you will notice in verse 20, Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. And this is the only place you find what the name of Moses' father and the name of Moses' mother. Just mentioned the once, as far as I know. And yet what a tremendous impact Jochebed, his mother, had upon Moses as a boy. Sometimes unknown Christians are going to stand before God in all the glory of Christ. I tell you, I'm glad it's God who keeps the books. My dear Christian friend, even though you may be unknown, don't worry about it. He knows. You be faithful to him. And remember, God never rewards greatness. He rewards faithfulness. Don't try and be like somebody else. You be yourself before God. He's made you just the way you are for a distinct purpose. You have a place in the body of Christ if you're a Christian. And you've got a distinct place nobody else has. And you fill that place. You walk with him and be faithful to him, whatever it may be. You say, well, I haven't any gift. You don't know what you have. Just you walk with God. Let him use you. Be obedient to him. He'll supply all that you need. He's the all-sufficient one. He's the ever-present one. Now, at the end of chapter 6, we read, these are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am Jehovah. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto you. And Moses said unto the Lord, Ah, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken to me? How in the world will Pharaoh, the mighty man on the throne, hearken to a poor old sheepherder? You see, he still occupied himself. Instead of realizing that he's God's representative. So, which leads me now to the next passage. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, throughout the chapter division, I have made you a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, I will strengthen his heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt, etc. Let me just stop here for a moment. Starting now at chapter 7 and running through chapter 11, we have the judgments of God upon Egypt and the opposition to God. And you will notice that the first 9 plagues are against the gods of Egypt. It's an amazing thing, you know. When you come to chapter 12, it was against the gods of Egypt that he did the sea, you see. In verse 12 of chapter 12, I read, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am Jehovah. So now we come to that place where you've got a battle between the living God and Pharaoh. Let my people go that they may serve me. And Pharaoh begins to resist the will of God. That's why I want you to notice that these judgments of God are against the gods of Egypt. Let me get the background. Chapter 5 again. I don't know Jehovah. I'm not going to obey Jehovah's voice. I'm the favored one of the gods of Egypt. Shall I bow to the god of slaves? All right. God picks up the challenge. And he strengthens Pharaoh's heart until every god in Egypt is in the dust. For these judgments on Egypt are against the gods of Egypt. And let me say, suggest something, God, before we go into it. When any man or woman or person or groups spurn the grace of God, that compels the judgment of God. See, Pharaoh set himself to resist the will of God. And as a just consequence, he was given over to a hard, stubborn heart. Unbelief is the product of an evil heart. And unbelief persisted in leads to hardness. I have in mind before me the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 12 to 13. And I want you to get this thing in your mind. Unbelief is the product of an evil heart. When a person rejects the Savior, when a man says, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe in this sort of stuff, I don't believe in your Bible, I don't believe in your Christ, he's manifesting an evil heart. And you remember the writer of Hebrews warns us concerning, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief. An unbelief persisted in leads to hardness. We talk about somebody being a hardened sinner. Now what you mean is he's resisted salvation, or he's resisted the Savior. And the more a man gives himself over to unbelief and to Satan and to evil, the less desirous he is of the things of God, unless the Spirit of God comes in and does a work in his heart. Grace spurned compels judgment. And so we have this question before us as we go through chapter 7 through 11. You have the judgment of God upon Egypt and the opposition to God. That's why I said, grace spurned compels judgment. When God said to Pharaoh, let my people go, I don't know you. I'm not going to obey you. I'm going to do just what I want to do. And all the way through, God strengthens his heart each time after every judgment. As soon as the judgment is over, Pharaoh hardens his heart. Or that is, he strengthens his heart against God. And he does so until every god in Egypt is in the dust. Now, the first opposition was by violence in chapter 5. Now we come to the second opposition to the purpose of God. And this is by imitation. By imitation, chapter 7, 1 through 8, 15. For those of you who are following through with notes, chapter 7, 1 to 8, 15, the opposition is by imitation. And three signs are given. Three signs are given in this passage. And up to this time, you have the magicians, Jannes and Jambres, who oppose Moses. Now, starting in verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. In other words, Moses is God's living representative to Pharaoh. And Aaron is to be his prophet. He's going to be his spokesman. Did you ever stop to think, my Christian friend, that God has given you somewhat the same thing today? Oh, I know it doesn't say in the New Testament that God has made us gods. But he's taking here that I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. That is, you're my living representative before Pharaoh. And you're going to do signs and wonders. The signs and wonders of a god. You're going to do supernatural things. Even using the powers of creation, and I say it very carefully, uses the power of creation. Only God can do that. And Moses became the instrument of God. Just like us today in 2 Corinthians 5:20, where Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. In behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are God's ambassadors, God's living representatives. We're in fellowship with God in his purposes, in his counsels. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. We read, we are workers together with God. We're God's husbandry, we're God's plowed field, we're God's building. But the first part of that verse, we are God's fellow workers. We're on God's team. We're God's living representatives. Like you had in John chapter 14, where the Father was made known through His Son by His words and works. Likewise, the believer is the channel now to reveal to the world something of the works and power, grace and love of God. I want a Christian friend, are you found usable? Or should I put it the other way? Have you made yourself available to God that He might use you as a channel to reveal Himself? Something of the heart and the character of God to men. You know, this kind of gets under my skin, if I can use that term. It gets into my heart. When I realize the tremendous honor, the tremendous privilege that God has given to us Christians, that we are down here on earth, He saves us, He redeems us, He gives us life eternal, He makes us His children, indwells us by His Spirit, and leaves us down here for a job, to do a job for Him. What is it? To reveal to men and women something of the heart of God, that He loves men, He loves women, that He died to save men and women from their sins. He provided a Savior. And how are men going to know unless somebody tells them, unless somebody shows them? And we as God's people have got this tremendous responsibility to reveal to men and women something of the heart of God. I've said this so often. I'm more and more convinced that I'm living in a day and there's not much time left to us to reveal God to men. To those of you who profess His name, you claim to be a Christian, do you know your Savior? Do you know your God? And then do you know your responsibility? Now remember, Moses and Aaron, they've been a discouraged pair of men. They expected God to come in and deliver them right now. Instead of that, they were not only not delivered, but the taskmasters came on and whipped them. Their plight was worse. And I thought God was on the scene. He is. He is. Don't worry. He never leaves them. That's why He said to Moses, my name is Jehovah, the ever-present God. See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. Aaron shall be your prophet. You'll speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden, but Pharaoh shall not hearken to you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, bring forth mine armies, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, by great judgments. The Egyptians shall know that I am Jehovah, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt, bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron, then as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And in verse 7, we have Moses is 80 years of age, and Aaron is 83 years of age when they speak to Pharaoh. Now, verse 8, I said a while ago, the first opposition is by violence, that's chapter 5. Second opposition, by imitation. Now look at it. Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh. They did as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh. You see, Pharaoh had said in verse 9, show a miracle. If your God is anything, you do something supernatural. So Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, and before his servants, it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. And they cast down every man his rod, they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Pharaoh strengthened his heart. You know, if I ever see Aaron, which I expect to one of these days, I'm tempted to ask him a question. about his rod after it swallowed up all the other rods. I wonder if it was the same thickness and so on. These crazy things come into your mind, don't they? You see, the serpent was worshipped in Egypt. Throw down your rod. As I said in the preceding lesson, when God said to Moses, what have you got in your hand? He said, a rod, throw it down. It didn't slip out of his hand. It was under absolute control. Throw it down. It became a serpent. And the magicians did likewise with their enchantments. You see. Imitation. Now, if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 9, especially verse 8, we'll find the same thing in the New Testament. Just as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, these are the magicians, even so in the present time are false teachers who will do the same thing. Now, I would like you to think about that. In our next lesson, we'll follow through this question of opposition by imitation. And today, there is much imitation of the things of God. Oh, Christian friend, may I plead with you to stay in the Word of God so you will not be led astray by the false doctrines and the isms that are so evident all over the country, all over the world for that matter. We are living in days of the imitation of Christianity, not of imitation. And we need to know our God personally. And we need to know the Word of God. And I would plead with your heart, my Christian friend, to know something of the Word of God. It'll cleanse you. And in fact, you ought to know your God. You ought to know your God. And the only way you'll know your God is by going to the place where He's revealed Himself in the Word of God. And He means exactly what He says. Now may the Lord bless you today. May His face shine upon you for His name's sake.